connecting to the real nerds is so easy. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. You can like us on Facebook. We have a Twitter account, at Real Nerds. We also have Instagram. You can call us, 720-6NERDS5. You want to email us? You can do that too, realnerds@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to Denver Comic Con 2016. We have a fantastic interview lined up for you. Enjoy.
We are here on the floor at Denver Comic Con 2016. It's day two, and the first person to walk up today is Alex. Alex, you and I spoke last year, and what's really crazy, I'm really excited to talk to you, as you can tell, is that I've had the conversation with a lot of people about, like, I want to start a podcast, and what is your advice, and how should I do it? You're the first person to come back and go, like, yo, dog, I did it. I actually went and started a show. So tell us about the show, and then we'll jump into, like, what your experience was like.
Absolutely. So our show is called the Backside of Water Podcast. It's a podcast that goes into the history and cool facts and trivia behind Disneyland attractions.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's the thing is, I mean, as you guys know, finding some sort of content to talk about for years on end in a podcast can be extremely difficult. So I was thinking, I used to work at Disneyland and loved my experience. I was a Jungle Cruise skipper there.
Okay.
And
what years were you there?
I was there from 2007 to the end of 2008.
Okay, I'm so glad. Because when you said the backside of water, I'm going to derail you for a second. When you said the backside of water, I went like, oh, like when I was 12 and I went to Disneyland and there was this joke that the Jungle Cruise guy did about like, this is the backside of water.
Exactly.
And when you said that, I was like, oh, shit. If I find out that this guy was working in Disneyland in, like, 1996, I'm going to lose my mind.
I would have been 10 years old, but I totally would have worked there.
Okay, good.
So, So the podcast is basically my buddy and I getting together and just chatting about the different aspects that caused all of these attractions to come together. We're not the kind of guys who love, you know, grumpy fanny packs and piglet backpacks.
Okay.
That's not what this podcast is about. This
right.
podcast goes into how the Imagineers and Walt Disney fashioned all of these different attractions and created the stories around them and the technology to tell those stories in a fun and really engaging way.
That's a great idea for a podcast.
Well, thanks, man. We have a blast doing it.
So how often do you do it?
We, at this point, unfortunately, because we're both so busy, we only release one episode per month.
That's fine.
And because of the level of research that we do for these,
right.
it takes at least 3 weeks for us to compile. For instance, we're getting ready to do our Haunted Mansion episode.
Cool.
July 1st is going to be the release. And we've been actually researching this one for 7 weeks now.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's amazing to see all the ins and outs of each one of these attractions and how they come together.
Yeah.
And the thing that's cool is our audience loves all of these different pieces of nerd trivia that we pull in with the Disney stuff. So that's why we take all of the time that we do to compile the information that we do.
That's such a great idea for a show.
And well, thanks, man.
You know, obviously, if you can keep it once a month, you know, it's probably the thing I told you then of, right? Our big rule was we're going to do it every week.
Yeah.
Because the consistency is really important. Even if it is once a month, at least as long as every month you're doing one, it means that people know to come back, right?
Exactly.
They know, like, okay, this is why. And with the level of quality of content you're producing, they're going to look at it and they're going to go like, oh, okay, I understand why it takes you a while to build this.
Well, and one thing that we've noticed and that's really helped our fan base is Instagram. Of all social media,
really?
For some reason, Instagram was the thing. And I think because what we did is our format on Instagram is we actually post companion photos of different attributes that we talk about in each episode.
Oh, that's cool.
So if we're talking about the Enchanted Tiki Room, we'll show pictures of them actually working on the audio animatronics behind the scene.
Wow.
So they can see some visual companionship going on our Instagram account that they hear on the show.
So your co-host, obviously, you worked at Disneyland.
Yes.
Your co-host, did he work there? Is he an engineer? Like,
he was just a super fan.
Oh, okay.
He and I were roommates back in California, and we both just loved Disney. So we figured, who better to talk to Disney stuff than each other?
As somebody just working at Disneyland, did you actually have access to, like, to seeing the behind the scenes of how a lot of that stuff
absolutely.
Works?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. We had almost all access pass to everywhere. As a Disney cast member, you can go anywhere a Disney employee can. So we would take trips up to the studios in Burbank. We went to the Imagineering studios. We went all over the place. You weren't the only place we weren't able to get actually into was the animation studios themselves. But
sure.
we were able to walk through the back lots. And that's what's cool. I mean, being a film nerd also, being able to see where they shot Mary Poppins, being able to walk around and see the actors working on Lost at the time. It was pretty epic,
that's
man.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Man, where do you guys record?
We record, well, we have to record in a satellite way. I live here in Denver.
Okay.
And my buddy lives in Austin.
Okay.
So we do it, we kind of jerry-rigged it, so... We both record independently on GarageBand, but we talk over Skype, and then I send him the file, and we merge them together that way. Because we haven't found anything that's super affordable and easy as far as an interface goes to effectively record it live.
Yeah.
So we do what we can.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I think that makes sense. So what is what's the equipment you're using? What are your mics? What did you start with, and then what are you using now, if it's changed at all?
That's a great question. Well, we like I said, for recording, we just use GarageBand.
Yeah.
We have a lot of heavy production stuff that I do after the fact. So in post, we'll go back and do all that kind of stuff. But for recording, we both use the Blue Yeti mics.
Uh-huh.
And he's got some Bose headphones, and I've got some Jabra headphones. Mm-hmm. That actually work really well for what we're doing. And, I mean, sound quality is amazing with those Blue Yeti mics.
Oh, yeah. No, they're a really solid USB mic.
Nothing like the rig you have here, this six-channel beast.
I mean, but it's funny because I was talking to somebody yesterday about it. And, you know, we do it this way because of the way that we record, right? And because we're set up, we all record in the same room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which... is really great for us. It's essential to the way that our show works. But at the same time, does mean, like, okay, you've got to be able to catch 4 to 6 different channels at one time. The other layer of it is that it's honestly, it's a big marketing piece, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I mean, the show always leaps forward in tech every time there's a Denver Comic Con. Because it's like, hey, this year I want to have the mic stands and really draw attention to the stuff. And it's, you know, it's a fun ploy that then honestly ends up being kind of cool when you go back and you're like, hey, these are the real mics that we use to record the show. But it can be overkill. I think every time we do it, it's diminishing returns in quality until, you know, so one of us hits it big or the show becomes the most popular thing on the internet.
Which is bound to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. A good 30, 40 years from now, it's going to happen. We can feel it coming. It's getting close.
But that's the best kind of show, is the one that's not appreciated in its generation. And later down the road, people see the genius because they see the whole picture.
You're saying we're going to be the William Faulkner of the podcast generation.
As I lay dying of podcast world, yes. I could totally see that.
Absolutely.
Which, speaking of your podcast, I've listened to a few episodes, and I love what you guys do.
Thanks.
And I'm very curious to see what you guys... My wife and I just saw Finding Dory yesterday.
Oh, did you?
And I'm very curious to see if you guys decide to talk about that on the show,
think. It's always hard the week of Denver Comic Con to figure out how we're going to do the show.
Yeah.
So we think that this year it sounds like we're going to see it Sunday night and record Sunday night. But it is of course, it's our movie of the week.
Like, yeah.
How could it not be?
Yeah.
I'm very anxious. I haven't got a chance to see it yet. I'm hoping I get to see it very soon. I've heard really good things. But, I mean, can you say anything? Can you tell me what you thought without telling me anything that'll spoil it?
I'll try to speak as cryptically as possible.
Great.
And say that I personally am a hardcore Pixar fan.
Right.
As could probably be assumed.
Right.
And I will say this. It was better than Cars 2.
Whoa. Oh, dude. Oh, you are hurting my soul right now.
But that's about... And maybe I'm overly critical. I don't know. Because I got a lot of buzz beforehand. I mean, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 91.
Yeah.
And so fans gave it 91. Critics gave it 93%.
Yeah.
Which I went in there with high expectations because of that. And Andrew Stanton is a phenomenal director... I was expecting a lot.
Yeah.
And so maybe that was my problem, is I went in expecting a lot and was given a great movie. And I'll also say this, no offense to DreamWorks, if anybody loves DreamWorks out there.
Right.
But this was a great DreamWorks movie.
Okay.
I wouldn't say
I
that
mean, that's what I would say about, like, Cars and Cars 2.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And that's why I put those kind of in the vein of another studio who has the ability to tell a good story, but it just didn't really have that emotional pang that the majority of Pixar films have.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with the way that they're working on a sequel every other year and original content every year now, you're going to have things like The Good Dinosaur. You're going to have things like Finding Dory. And, you know, some people are going to love it. My one-year-old son, when we show it to him, he's going to adore it.
Oh, absolutely.
But, again, I think it's because we came.
Adore it.
I was trying to throw that pun somewhere in there.
Oh.
Once a Jungle Cruise skipper, always a skipper.
Oh, that's so good. It's funny because when they announced it, I was like, oh, man, like, why are you touching this, right? It's like making a sequel to Up. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to talk to you. I don't need that. And it wasn't until Andrew Stanton in an interview said that they were in the same boat, that they were like, oh, you know, yeah, we don't really need to touch that movie, until they found this hook of, well, what if the movie is about Dory coming to terms with her disability? And when he pitched me that, I was like, oh, shit. Like, that sounds like a Pixar movie. That's what I'm expecting. And so I think I'm still a little bit trepidatious about it, because I am like, oh, man, like, Pixar doing sequels, sometimes they're great, right? Sometimes they're Monsters University.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, this is exactly what I needed. And sometimes you're like, well, this is a cash grab.
Well, and I
Finding,
think that
because of the popularity of Finding Nemo, it is, I mean, it looks like a cash grab. You know?
Oh, it absolutely is. I think that Walt Disney said it best when he tried to make a sequel to The Three Little Pigs back in the day.
Oh,
he said, you can't top pigs with pigs. Because he learned his lesson not to do sequels. And you'll see throughout Walt Disney's career, sequels were not huge in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And I think that I wish Pixar would kind of take that same tack.
Yeah.
Because they've got so much awesome original content that I feel like seeing an Incredibles 2 that's about to come out,
it doesn't
grab me. It's not compelling because it's not original content. It's not a new story. Now, Toy Story, I feel like, is untouchable because all three of those in the series, they've got such strong characters and they've got such strong heart behind them that you could follow those for 50 movies if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But with a movie like Finding Dory, again, there are some compelling ideas going on in there, but the execution was a little bit flat compared to what I was used to with Pixar.
Interesting. All right.
So that's all I got to say about it.
Hey, at the very least, you're doing me a favor. You're pushing back my expectations a little bit, so that then I can go in and have a fantastic time and be like, Alex doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Lower the bar.
Right.
Lower
the bar. Exactly. Lower the bar. Expect less. Go in and be surprised. That sounds like a really good plan. Cool. So, you know, in this first year or so that you guys have been doing the show, what are the challenges you've run into? What are the things maybe you've learned or you know,
yeah, that's
the
a great question
you've had?
Well, it's funny because we actually just hit our 1 year anniversary and, it was, we just released a 1 year retrospective episode where we talk all about these things, what we've learned for podcasters who are getting into podcasting, because some of our listeners have actually started podcasts since we've been going. And I think it's inspiration from us.
Yeah.
But, one of the biggest things that we've learned is tech flexibility. That technology will either be your best friend or your worst enemy a lot of times. And we've had to record episodes 2 and 3 times sometimes because, I mean, being 1,500 miles from each other, a lot can happen.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a storm in Tulsa can affect our show because of weird connectivity issues that we have with Skype and things like that.
Sure.
Another thing that has really, really changed over the last year is the way that we have conversation. Before, it seemed whenever you put a mic in front of you, it can be really intimidating. So you start to figure out, well, how do I go about doing this without saying every other word?
Yeah.
Or how do I actually convey energy through my voice without sounding like I'm, you know, a radio DJ?
Yeah.
And those two things are probably the biggest things that we've learned, is effectively delivering the information through our voices to keep people interested. Because the more monotone and NPR you get, the less that you're going to drag people in.
Do you guys script out the episodes before you record them?
Originally, we didn't. And that was a huge mistake for us. Because, again, we have so much content that we want to put in there.
Right.
And so many things that we want to address that we have to do it in a concise and compact way.
Yeah.
So if we were just to go off script and kind of just do whatever, the episodes would probably be 4 or 5 hours, and only 12 minutes of that would actually be good.
Uh-huh.
And so...
That's what we do. We just wing it, and there's like, yeah, there's like 15 minutes of entertainment
but,
in there. But,
I mean, there's something awesome and really cool to be said about a show like that.
Yeah.
And we're really toying with the idea.
It's a different model.
There's a lot more of organic chemistry that goes along with that. Sorry, I was just thinking about organic chemistry jokes as I was sitting here, so I got distracted.
It really is. Like, it's in your DNA now.
Oh, my gosh.
You're just constantly trying to figure out, like, how do I get a really corny joke out of this?
Well, the thing that's interesting is I feel like you're born,
kind of fun one.
You're born a skipper, and then you get there and you realize your place in this world.
Oh.
So I have a home in the jungle at Disneyland, which is technically a legit jungle now.
Really?
As of 2013, I believe, it was considered its own ecosystem. It
really?
Can survive and thrive on its own now.
What?
Yep.
That's insane.
Yep. It's pretty awesome, man.
Holy crap. So how do you guys do all the research for this show? Like, do you know some people on the inside?
I've got some inside sources at the Mouse. No, well, yes, somewhat. But while I was working there, I worked in the Enchanted Tiki Room, I worked on the Jungle Cruise, I worked on Big Thunder Mountain, and I also worked in the Disneyland Opera House, which the Disneyland Opera House is where they have great moments with Mr. Lincoln right now. But when I was working there, it was the 50 magical years of Disneyland.
Yeah.
And so the cast members there are all actually Disney, quote-unquote, historians. So it's their job to... basically try to be stumped by guests that come in and ask questions about the history of the park.
That's cool.
So my time there was generally spent picking the brains of all of these different cast members about the historical foundations of the park itself.
Yeah.
And it was cool because we would have big Disney Imagineers like Tony Baxter come down and tell us the future of Fantasyland or show us what he was going to do and the new refurbishment of Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Yeah.
And it was really awesome to see those conversations 4 years before they actually came down the pike, and then to see what they turned out to be after he had actually executed everything. So to answer your question in a way roundabout way, there's a lot of different sources for our research.
Yeah.
I'll do anecdotal stuff that I hear throughout the park. I also worked for something called the Disney University, which we basically taught cast members when they were coming in how to be good cast members.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of our conversations were had around the heritage of the park and where things came from.
Yeah.
And then the internet is an awesome source.
Yeah.
Awesome resource. We have learned so much. I thought that in a hubristic sort of way, that I knew a lot about Disney parks.
Yeah.
But jumping on the internet and seeing the wealth of knowledge that Diz nerds have, it's insane. Incredible, all of the stuff that they know out there.
So, all right, I'm looking at the time and I'm like, dude, I'm going to steal.
Yeah,
I'm going to steal all of your time from the show floor just talking to you. So there are two things that I realize. One, I have one more question I have to talk to you about. The other thing is, honestly, since you're in Denver, we're just going to have you on the show sometime. Like,
especially when
there's a Disney movie coming out. Like, we're going to have you come on. And like, so I don't know if you've listened recently, but Ryan is starting to listen. Or he's, you know, he just finished watching all 156 comic book movies or something like that. And he's starting to go through all of the Disney animation films again. So he started all the way back at Snow White and is going through every single one. Is having a little bit of trouble with some of the, you know, getting a hold of a couple of them.
Yes.
But I honestly, like, the two of you, if I put the two of you in a room, like, the podcast isn't going to end. So it's probably a really good thing he's not here yet today. anyway, so... at some point, we're going to have you on the show.
Absolutely, anytime.
So the one thing I need to ask you about, for a purely selfish reason, is this. What did you think about Tomorrowland?
The movie?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I am going to make a lot of enemies when I say this.
I don't know if you are.
Because I think I'll make an enemy of you because I enjoyed it for what it was.
Sure.
I think that Brad Bird is a genius filmmaker.
Yep.
I think that the expectation for that movie on a lot of viewers' parts was way off.
Sure.
And I think that that was the thing from all of the feedback that I get. I think that was the biggest downfall to that movie. It's a lot of people expected most of it to take place in Tomorrowland.
Sure.
And they wanted to see what this world of tomorrow actually looked like.
Yeah.
When... again, with Damon Lindelof and Brad Bird getting together, you know it's going to be this twisted, weird, especially with Lindelof's writing.
Yeah.
You have no idea where it's going to go.
Right.
But I, for what it was, I really enjoyed it. I thought the George Clooney robot romance thing was a little creepy, especially
super clunky.
Yes,
yeah.
He was like in his 50s, and she was obviously an older bot, but
absolutely
still
falls down on its own weight.
Got
yes.
a little bit creepy to me.
Yeah.
I will say overall, though, I loved the movie. I thought the story was great. Because I went in with no expectation. I didn't
awesome.
Think that there was going to be anything necessarily going on in Tomorrowland.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay,
so,
no.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a movie I own. I don't watch it frequently, but at the same... Because for me, it's like... It's something that I probably had pretty high expectations for because of Brad Bird and Lindelof, and not anything to do with Disneyland.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for me, it was like, I like those guys, and there were things like the robot girl and stuff like that I just watched the movie like... crumble on its own weight a little bit, and I was like, okay guys, this was really really aggressive to try and make this movie, so if you fail a little, that's okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't a movie I could recommend to people, because I feel like most people are going to walk out of it and be like, I don't know what I just watched, but I made my parents watch it because I was like, you guys, you'll have some fun, like it's cool.
And that's exactly, you know? It my wife isn't a movie buff, but she liked it.
Yeah.
And now one thing that I'll say I would love to come and talk to you guys on is the new Dwayne Johnson movie coming out in 2017.
Really?
The Jungle Cruise.
Oh
yes.
Oh,
yes.
100% we can make that happen.
I feel like it would be awesome.
We would be remiss if we did not have an official Jungle Cruise aficionado come on the show for that movie.
I'm very curious to see what they do, because for the longest time, it was supposed to be Tom Hanks and Tim Allen on that film.
Ooh.
But it went through rewrite after rewrite after rewrite, then was canned for a while and got this resurgence with Dwayne Johnson, which I love The Rock.
Can it be The Rock and Tom Hanks? Because that I'm okay with. That sounds fantastic.
I think that's like the next When Harry Met Sally.
The Rock can't ruin movies.
No.
He just can't.
No.
I watched the trailer for that Central Intelligence, which if it's got Kevin Hart in it, I pretty much signed the movie off. I'm like, I don't need that. But I saw the trailer with The Rock and I was like, okay, I might be convinced.
He
steals every moment in that trailer. It's ridiculous.
Well, and it's crazy with Moana, the new Disney movie that came out. There's a trailer for it at the beginning of Finding
Dory. It's all Rock.
It's all
It doesn't
the
have
Rock.
The main character of the movie in it at all. It's
exactly.
Just like, yo, dog, The Rock is in this. You're going to show up. It's going to be okay.
Everybody loves The Rock.
Yeah.
He's the new Ronnie Reagan.
Oh, man.
I mean, Ronnie Reagan is an actor. Everybody loved Ronnie Reagan
as
an actor, right?
Absolutely. Very cool. Well, Alex, it is so fantastic to catch up with you.
It was a
And hear that you've built something really, really cool. I'm glad that even in a fraction of a spark of an inspiration that we maybe had some effect on it. That, honestly, it makes the whole thing worth
Much
it.
Much bigger than a spark.
Cool.
Much bigger than a spark.
I'm so happy, and I really want to look for this show. So really quick before we let you go, tell everybody again where they can find you, how they can follow you, how do they support, what's it look like?
So, yeah, just Google search. The Backside of Water podcast on iTunes. We're the Backside of Water podcast.
Awesome.
On Instagram, look for the_backside_of_water. The Backside of Water was taken, unfortunately. So we had to get creative.
Oh, that's too funny. Sweet. Well, thank you so much for coming by, Alex.
It's been a pleasure,
man. I hope
you
have a really great show.
Thank you so much for listening to this exclusive interview from Real Nerds Podcast at Denver Comic Con 2016. I'd like to thank Denver Comic Con and Pop Culture Classroom for giving us this opportunity. Thanks. Bye.
Real Nerds is a Nebulous Visions multimedia production. We would also like to thank Sparks Mandrill for our music. Additional music from Ben Sounds. Thank you to Alamo Drafthouse. Thank you to Colorado Coins, Cards, and Comics. And thank you for listening to the Real Nerds Podcast.